Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu. Over the next few minutes, the Word of God will be taught with simplicity, power, and a sense of humor. For over two decades, Dr. Kamanu's teachings have gone throughout the world with tremendous reports coming from people whose lives have been radically impacted. Get your Bible, take notes, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch you through the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu.
Job chapter 14, beginning verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret, until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are powerful words that we need to have an understanding of. I'm asking that you'd bless those who are viewing this, those listening to this audio transmission, those here in the house, to receive a revelation and an engrafted word. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated in his presence.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
You are the power.
You know, man in his sinful, fallen state is likened to an individual that's lost in a barren wilderness, they're wandering aimlessly with nowhere to go. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going to go. If you don't have a goal, you'll never reach it. That's life without God. If left alone in this manner, this eternal tripart being will perish and end up in an eternal abyss separated from his maker. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom the fact that God made us, placed us on this planet to rule, to govern, to have dominion over, to be stewards of, and we choose not to give him glory? I'm going to use as a subject today, ministry of reconciliation. It's very important that we grab hold to this. Job says, man who was born of a woman is of few days. Doesn't matter how long you live. It's a few days in the eyes of God. The Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So if you live to be 80, what is that? If 1,000 years is a day, can you imagine that? Do you come up to a minute? Do you make 2 minutes in God's sight? And yet within this short time, we think we're all that. We think life cannot manage without us. We think that without us, nothing's going to make it. Let me tell you something. You can die and life will go on. You can get sick. You can become bedridden. You can become so debilitated that you're going to find out. People will go to work. People will go to sporting events. People will shop. People will swim. People will just have fun. Why? Because life is not about us. It's about God. Amen. And until we come to that realization that God is in control and we're not, we will, like this lost man in a barren wilderness, be wandering about aimlessly. It doesn't matter what we achieve in life because none of it will leave this planet with us. It doesn't matter how much trophies you can accumulate. Doesn't matter how many times your name came in some record book. That doesn't matter to God. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? That matters. And I think we spend an abundance years of our lives trying to prove ourselves. They say the first 40 years of your life, you try to prove yourself to yourself. And then after that, you try to prove yourself, whatever days you got left, to everybody else. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to, from day one, when you learn about Jesus Christ, figure out how you can please him. Sometimes women want to please their husbands and vice versa. Men want to please their wives and children want to please their parents and parents want to please their children. And all we do is end up spoiling one another. We always do what is good to make somebody happy, but we hardly ever do what is good to make God happy. Do you know God is not interested in our good looks, in our wisdom, in our wits? He's not interested in our type of clothing we wear, the shoes that we have. He doesn't care about that. He wants our heart. And until we come to the realization that we can go all to all the school classes that we can attend, we can have all this wisdom. Wisdom does not put you in heaven. Nor can wisdom bring you into the kingdom of God. All of those things are for planet Earth. I have a friend that belongs to a different religion. He says, oh no, we got to go to school because in the next life, when we're on our other planet, we need wisdom. I said, get a clue on Earth. Get a clue on Earth. Don't worry about the next planet. You need to worry about Earth. See, all that we attain on Earth, according to Job, our man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. In fact, Job says, the man shows up like a flower, then it's cut down. That's true. Whether you cut down through sickness, you cut down through poverty, you cut down through some murder, you're cut down and your days are over. Doesn't matter how good you are. Listen, after a few days and weeks and months, they will forget you. The ones who sat next to your casket crying will stop crying one day. It might take them some time, but I guarantee you that person will remarry if they're young enough. That person will say, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be like this no more. It was God who said, I meditated on this. God said, because, you know, I do a lot of messages and I counsel a lot of people. God says, it's not good. Fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. It's not good for man to be alone. Why is that? He said, I know this guy. He'd be up to trouble. I know this guy. He's going to get, because God also knows loneliness is not good. God's not alone. You think God sits in heaven? Oh, God wanted to so be surrounded by people. He created angels. He just made them. He said, I make angels. I want you to worship me. God, you get a clue. God does not like being alone. Yet we leave him alone. We don't pray. We don't study. We don't draw closer to him. One of the things that I've learned over the past almost 30 days now is learning the importance of understanding loneliness. understanding that when you're alone, you can really talk to God. And I told God a lot of things in this 30 days. Some of it is about you folks. And about our future and about a lot of things. Good stuff, not bad stuff. Good stuff. Because you take an assessment of your life when you're alone. Hear what I'm telling you. Then I began to meditate. I said, man, there's a lot of lonely people in our church. There, you can be lonely in a crowd. Oh, talk to me, somebody. You can be lonely in a crowd. You can sit in Aloha Stadium with 50,000 cheering fans and feel lonely. Not everybody who goes to the stadium enjoys the game. They just want to be around people. They got the money. They can buy the ticket, but they want to be around people. And nobody reaches out to them. Nobody says hello to them. People just like, I'm there. I'm going to enjoy the game. Got the colors on. Got the liquor. Got the soda. Got the Simon. Got the burgers. Got the hot dog. Got the pizza. Got the nachos. Got everything, but don't have peace. See, we can acquire many things in life, but still it doesn't give peace. You tell me what clothing you bought that gives you peace. I mean, no harm to the people, but when a Catholic woman puts on, a nun puts on a habit, it doesn't give her peace. It gives her peace as much as a police officer puts on a uniform that gives him protection. There's no protection in clothing. Clothing is a direct result of man's sin. So you cannot get peace out of something that was made for sin. Oh boy, that's good stuff. This is just like cocoa and cracker. Talk to me, somebody. So I want to challenge your mindset. I want us, and you know what? Elder John said it in our communion. I'm doing this study on shame. Write the word shame down. S-H-A-M-E. What does shame mean? Embarrassed. What does shame mean? Shame. What does it mean to you? A lot of us are ashamed. In fact, we have allowed Jesus, listen, to save us from our sin. But we never took deliverance from our shame. So you got saved people who are ashamed. And that devil uses shame to whoop us. That's why it says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus whooped him in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. Yeah, we want healing. We always are, I'm healed. But what about the shame? What about the shame when an enemy comes and haunts you and says, and he taunts you and he says, do you really think, listen to what you did. Do you think just your repeating a sinner's prayer will erase all those? God's not like that. But unless you understand, Jesus paid the price for your sin and your shame. You don't have to have your jaws dropped on the ground grating like a grater. You can say, bless God, man. Doesn't matter. I don't care how deep in the morass you were. Jesus has brought you out to stay out. Do you understand that? That's what reconciliation means. In fact, the word reconcile means to restore to friendship or harmony. A lot of us don't have harmony. I'm not talking about singing now. We don't have harmony. You know what harmony is? Flowing together. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's harmony. There's a lot of rich folk right now. They can't sleep at night because they have no peace with God. I watched a movie about Howard Hughes called The Aviator. And in this, he had compulsive disorder, right? Nobody knew what it was back then. Nobody could prescribe anything, any kind of medication for him. And so he had to wash his hands every time. And he was tweaking. Yet this guy, he designed aircrafts. This guy was a pilot, flew around the world. This guy did great things. I mean, he challenged Hollywood and he made great movies. He did a lot of stuff. The richest man on earth. But he had a compulsive problem that nobody but God could help. And he didn't go to God. So it is possible for you to have all the wealth of this world and not have peace with God. Check this out. I don't have all the wealth of this world. Check this out. I don't have all the wealth of Hawaii. Check this out. I don't have all the wealth of Kaneohe. Check this out. I don't have all the wealth of my family. Check this out. I don't have all the wealth of this church. But I have peace with God. Amen. Well, how do you get this peace? Where do you get it from? Not from a department store. The word reconciliation means the action of reconciling. The state of being reconciled. That's why Christians should always have a smile. Why? Because we reconcile. We got peace with God, baby. I don't care if my football team lost. I still got peace with God. I don't care if my basketball team lost. I don't care if they burned down my alma mater. I still have peace with God. Why is that? Because I'm not going to set my affections on temporal things, and everything on earth is temporal. I like my black truck, but you know what? One day it's going to be destroyed. It can take me from place to place. It looks nice. When George gets through with it, when Koi gets through with it, it's a nice ride. It looks good. Many people have stopped to comment to me and say, bro, that's a nice truck. Yeah, but you know what? It's rusting every day. You just can't see it now, but one day it's going to manifest. Come on, somebody. I still got to put gas in the tank because with good looks, I'm going to cause it to run. As shiny as it gets, if I don't put fuel in it, it'll be a shiny truck on the side of the road. Come on, somebody. If we don't put air in the tire, guess what? It won't go far. See, so we think we spruce ourselves up. That don't mean we all right. There's a lot of pretty women in this place. Not here just only, but in the world. There's a lot of pretty women who are empty. They took care of their outside, but their innards are junk. Psalm 51 says, thou desirest truth on the inward parts. So it's time we work on the inside. Amen? Because if you work on the inside, see, what's manifesting on the exterior is really a problem of the interior. Do you hear what I just said? If you work with what's on the inside, if you clean up the inside, it'll manifest on the outside. Say amen, somebody. Amen. We like to do general cleaning. General cleaning means everything will be touched. It doesn't mean we're just going to touch that which can be seen. Had a friend when I was raised up in the country in Haula. Her name is Kehau. And is that her name? Well, if it's not, I just gave her a name. And I remember once a month, you'd walk down Haula Homestead Road. And you could smell her house. What do you mean? I mean, because she had cement floors. She took her kids and her husband. Took all the furniture out. And boy, she did a general cleaning. You could smell a pino. I mean, she water hose in house. This is country we're talking about, everybody. I know you city slickers can't hang with this, but this is country talk. She'd go in there with the water hose and they'd be scrubbing and they'd be cleaning up. And you know what? Shoot down the jealousies. Not the family members. That's the window. Shoot down the jealousies and clean the screen. Take the screen off. Scrub the screen. Come on, somebody. And while they're doing that, the kids cleaning the yard. Every month. Clockwork. You could walk down Haula Homestead Road and smell her house. Not that her house was dirty. That's why she needed it. She just said, I want to be clean. But that's good. But you know what? As beautiful as that was, they sure had a lot of drinking parties going on over there and getting into fights. Sometimes we clean the wrong thing, huh? It's good to be clean. Huh? Don't get me wrong. It's good to be clean. I like a clean house. Amen, somebody. One of the worst things I hate is to see a sink full of dishes. I don't care if they're brand new chinas. If they're dirty, they don't look nice to me. Somebody said, that's why they made paper products. We got to wash dishes sometime, amen? He said, well, I need a dishwasher. Yeah, you got hands? Yeah, you're the dishwasher right now. Well, I don't know about that. I just told you right now, you are the dishwasher. My name's not Maytag. We just named you Kenmore. Come on, somebody. Get out there and do your job. I don't care how pretty your clothes is. If you don't wash it after a while, we will tell you it stinks. Oh, but I bought this for $2,000. Well, you know what? You need to run it through a $1.50 washing machine and get that thing cleansed. Come on, somebody. You better put it through a 75-cent dryer. Wait, where's that one? I want to find that dryer. See, one of the things when you're lonely is and you don't have washing machines and dryer, you got to hunt for laundromats. And I don't want to be Mr. Bubble, so I can't be putting too much soap out in there, right? You can't put too much soap in there. I'm not there to make all the kids in the neighborhood happy. Oh, bubbles, look, bubbles. You got to read the box. You got to read what the thing says. If it says one cap full, don't put two. Come on, somebody. You only got so long you can boil eggs. After a while, the water's going to go. Sometimes you're hungry for something you want to eat. I mean, you have this, your palate says, get this. But you're lazy. So you settle for tuna sandwich. Come on, somebody. You're thinking something else, but you're eating tuna sandwich. And you're like, oh, this thing is so good. You know, because you're thinking of something else. See, that's a lot of people. They're thinking about God, but they're having something else. Right there, Don. They're thinking about God, but they actually have something else. You know what it's called? Fillers. Fillers. You know, not that I'm hungry for it, but you know Twinkies and the cupcakes and all they have inside is fillers. It's not nutritious. Believe that. Cheetos, it's air. It's yellow air that dirties your finger. Come on, somebody. Because you can eat the whole bag and you're like, I'm still hungry. Yeah. Air doesn't make you full. Come on, I called somebody the other day. I said, what you having for lunch? Air biscuits, or as he said, wind biscuits. I said, no, your wife loves you so much. I know she's preparing a good meal for you. He says, oh, okay. It's wonderful. But air doesn't, it's not that tasty, saints. You can sit down and say, You know, David, the Bible says David was sitting down here and he thought out loud. He says, oh, if I had a drink of the water that was from Evian, Menihuni, Hawaiian Paradise, Fiji. Oh, if he said, no, he was specific. He says, if I have water that comes from the wells by the gates of Bethlehem. He says, I know, I drank water from En Gedi. I've drunk in the water from down in many other areas from Jerusalem, but nothing quenches the thirst. Listen to me, saints. Like the waters from the wells at Bethlehem. You know what he was saying? You know what he was saying? I've tried many things in life, but nothing satisfies me like God. That's why you can go to any other church, but you're not going to fit in there. Now, you will fit there, but you're not going to fit in there. Because they can't quench your thirst. They can't feed your hunger. Because what you got is more than they can put out. You're going to go up there and say, is there anything else to the service? Oh, no, that's it. We have seven on the weekends and they're all the same. So that everybody gets the same portion. But you come over here, you can dine. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Amen. I hate to use this euphemism, but you can pig out. Come on, somebody. You can go for the gusto. Come on, somebody. See, I don't know about you, but I want to come and dine. Come and dine, the master. Call it come and dine. Amen. The Bible says, I'm still in Job. The Bible says, verse 14, if a man die, you know you will. Shall he live again in Jesus? The answer, yes. Because in Jesus, nobody dies. Come on, somebody. Huh? We graduate. I told a young man that's about to graduate, I said, remember, move the tassels. Huh? Move the tassels. They take you through school, and that's one of the last things they tell you, if they ever tell you, move the tassels. Because that signifies it's over. There's a time for joy, a time for cheer. It's a happy moment. Everybody sing. Graduation day. You have lays to hear and cards with cash. Your family looks, brah, can borrow some. Negative. Bible says over here, if a man dies, shall he live again? Listen to what he said. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. You see, your time is appointed. Right. Don't miss your appointment. Your time is appointed. The Bible says, I'm going to wait till my change come. You know what he was just saying? My change is coming so I can do what my appointment says I'm supposed to do. When I make an appointment at my dentist's office, I don't go there and say, I'm having problems with my glasses. I'm at the dentist. Hello. And I walk in then and they greet me and they say, hey, hi, Paul. They call me my first name. Hey, Paul. I said, hey, how you doing? Doc will see you now. And he says, hey, Paul, how are you? We're friendly. See, he says, so what's up? I said, this thing's sore, Doc. He says, oh, let me see your glasses. No, he's not an optometrist. He's a dentist. He says, all right, Paul, let's look. Which one? Point to the one, Paul. And he understands the mumble. That one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then he gets something. He speaks behind his mask. You know that Michael Jackson mask? He speaks from behind that. And then his aide has one also. And then he says, okay, Paul, put your finger here. And they put the lid covering over me. And they say, run! Then they go and check out the x-ray of what the problem is. The tooth might look good at the surface, but the x-ray shows you, oh, we got a problem. And then, having read the bill for a lot of times, he says, I think this is a root canal. I never went to dentistry school, but paying enough bills for root canals, I understand what that is. He says, okay, Paul, look like we're going to have to. But he knows his job, see? He said, Paul, it's going to hurt. But at least he's honest. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you shall have tribulation. He's honest. He's honest. It's going to hurt. You're going to have church people talk about you. If they haven't done so already, get ready. Get ready. In fact, in just a little bit, God's going to turn on the amplified system. You're going to hear plenty of people talking about you. Say amen, somebody. Oh boy, I better start the message now. Romans chapter 5. Well, you're going to hear a lot of people talking about you. But that ain't right. I know it ain't right, but they still talk. Why are you thinking that? None of your business. Point number one, we must be reconciled. We must be reconciled. The word reconciled, once again, means what? To restore to friendship or harmony. I don't know about you, but I want to be restored to friendship. In other words, I used to be a friend with God, but because of sin, I'm not a friend with God. I'm now his enemy, really. And so I need to be reconciled. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, I'm going to read from the Amplified. This is going to punch you out. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died for, in behalf of, the ungodly. That's me, you, and a dog named. Yep. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life even for an upright person. Though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. See, in other words, they're saying if you're good, you're worth paying the price for. You know, if you were good, you're wonderful, everything good, everything right, everything holy, Now, see, if that's good, and Jesus died for you, that's wonderful. But that's not talking about you or me. But God shows, verse 8, and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Therefore, since we are now justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, and that word reconciled means to restore to friendship or harmony, even when you were an enemy. It is much more certain now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. You understand that? Paul says that I may know him, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, talking about Jesus, and the power of his what? Resurrection. He spoke about the resurrection before he spoke about the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. There is power in the resurrection. This is why many who don't believe in it try to attack it. Ain't no power in reincarnation, because that just doesn't happen. But in resurrection, man, there's so much. It takes power to resurrect. It takes power to bring somebody back from the dead. I was talking on the radio recently about my aunt who in a revival service dropped dead. Now, if you want to die, I guess the church is a good place to die in. My aunt Sophie was at a revival service and dropped dead. And the pastor says, if you all believe that we can bring her back from the dead, stay here and pray. If you don't believe, get out. And a bunch of the people in the revival got out. What did he want to do? He wanted to reconcile this woman. He wanted to bring her back because he knew her time wasn't up. Almost 3 hours later, she got up from the dead and lived another 40-some-odd years. Come on, somebody. See, he lived another 40-something years. And then when it came time for her to die, the real time, see, she didn't reach her appointed time like Job said. She waited for a change to come, and there were enough people around her to pray her back into life, to reconcile her. That's what we do. We reconcile people. We bring them back from the dead. It's a good word. I'm going to get this one. Bible says, what verse are we in? Verse 11. Watch this. Not only so, but we also rejoice and exultantly glory in God, in His love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. Ain't that something? Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or escape its power, because all men sinned. Goodness gracious. Paul said to the church at Rome, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These were Romans who thought, I don't sin. We're Rome. We're the mightiest nation on planet earth. Nobody tells us nothing. Paul says, let me tell you something, Roman. You're a sinner and you're going to go to hell. Reconciliation brings us back into favor and friendship and harmony with God. Here's point number two. The importance of reconciliation. I want you to see. The importance, everybody say, there is an importance for me to be reconciled. The importance of reconciliation. Go with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah. Listen to what it says. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise and skillful person, I'm reading from the Amplified once again, glory and boast in his wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength and power. Let not the person who is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth glory and boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in those things I delight, says the Lord. What? The importance of reconciliation. This is powerful stuff. Reconciliation. I don't know how you can come to church and feel excluded. If you understand what being born again is all about, listen to me. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He was speaking to a fleshly individual, but reaching into his tripartite being. He says, spirit and soul, hear me. Hear me. You must be born again. There is no way to get to know God. You cannot be reconciled without being born again. There is not enough lambs you can kill. There's not enough oxen. You can't kill enough cows. You can't shoot enough pigs. You can't give enough turtle doves. You can't offer up turkeys. You can't give him turkey tails or oxtails. You've got to give God yourself. Amen. Understand, in John 19 and verse 30, Jesus said, it is finished. There's no works you have to do. But you must just receive. Receive reconciliation. Receive reconciliation. The importance of reconciliation. I have peace at night. I can sleep. I can sleep during the day if I so choose to. I can travel about not having to look over my shoulders. Not worrying about somebody coming after me with some gun or knife or somebody slandering me. Because I've had it happen, but I still have peace with God. God told me, he says, son, you accept this call, there's going to be everybody coming against you. I was thinking about how so many people came against me. Yet, in spite of this, I'm still doing what God called me to do. Because you can't let people's words affect the words of an eternal God. How do you take it? How do you weather storms? How do you go through and not give up? It's when you've been reconciled, you understand. Listen to me. I was part of a family that had to take me because my mother gave birth. But I became a part of a family that loved me so much in spite of my mistakes and faults that the Father came after me. The Father came after me. Hear what I'm telling you, saints. The Father came after me and says, it's time. Time to make a change. It's time. Followed me down from Kamehameha Highway onto Like Like. Followed me, 1979. Let me clear the Wilson Tunnel where my stepdaddy died in 1954 in August through a great cave-in. Let me travel down Leakey Leakey and come right up to Burmeister Overpass where he said to me, are you through playing? See, the Father loved me so much that he spoke to me. He didn't send an angel to confront me. He spoke to me. He wanted me in his family. He spoke to me. He says, are you through playing? And I knew it. It's the Father. Once you've heard the Father's voice, you'll never lose it. There's a lot of people who said God doesn't speak. Oh, don't listen to them. I'm going to tell you something right now. He speaks. God's not dumb. He speaks. He speaks. He talks. He shares. He says, I want to share my secret with you. Here's a plan I have for you. Sister Nancy in the hospital said, a nurse came to her and saw that she was reading her Bible. So she said, oh, are you a Christian? She says, yes, I am. She says, oh, I'm a Christian too. She says, she left and she came back. She says, I have a word from God for you. So she said, Jeremiah 29:11, right? I said, I hope you told her that was for the Jews and not for you. I said, you should have told her. Let me tell you something right now. That scripture verse was given by God to the Jewish people. Read the first 10 verses before you read verse 11. I said, because the average Christian, they don't know that. They just pick and choose. They think this is like an orchard. You just go in, pick cherries, pick plum, pick apple, pick orange, take grapes, and just make your own fruit basket. You got to know who God's talking to. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Not trying to rain on your parade, but put an umbrella up. You'll be all right. You ever notice an umbrella can help you when the sun is too strong too? So it's an all-weather thing. Come on, somebody. People say, they look at you on a sunny day walking down with an umbrella covering your head. They say, look, that person's nuts. No, you're not nuts. You don't want to get heat stroke. Come on, somebody. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Person next to you keeling over and you don't want to stand in there like during the parade watching. Hey, what's up there, Costas? Raining. No, hot. Vela. Hot. Oh, really? Oh, does that umbrella help? I'm not going to let you find out. God wants to cover us. But he's more broad than an umbrella. You know, umbrellas have only so far they can go. Like a small one wouldn't help me. I'd still get wet with my girth. So I got to buy the big boy umbrella. Like they're big boy chairs. There's big boy clothes. Come on, somebody. So you got, see, the kind of sin you did, you can't just go anywhere and get redeemed. Some of you were so far deep into stuff. Come on. Do you think you can go to a family? Welcome to service today, family. You don't need a Bible. I'll tell you everything. Negative. You better bring your pick. You better bring your shovel. You better bring your wheelbarrow. And you better find out how you're going to dig yourself out of this mess. Say amen, somebody. I don't want you to meditate or think on what God delivered you from, but you know you were deeper than kimchi. You were stinker than daikon. Come on, somebody. And you look worse than an old pihi on a happy day. And they all look ugly. Come on. But taste so good. How's that, huh? I'm telling you. God knew how to save you. That's why you couldn't get saved any place. Kahu Vince, he was so pressured. He was so under conviction. He went down to the door of a church, sat on the church was closed. He sat on a porch. He said, if I die tonight, I'm going to go straight to hell on the express. He says, I don't care if I'm going to wake him up. I've got to call the man who was my pastor when I was a boy. And he called his former pastor. He says, I need to get saved. And he woke the pastor up. Pastor said, what? I need to get saved. Boy, that's the kind of calls a pastor would like to hear at night. Yeah, yeah. Not, I'm in jail. This is my only call. Can you bail me out? And this is where pastors got to be quick and have wit and wisdom. And when they hear that, I'm in jail, can you bail me out? Say, at the sound of the tone, please leave a message. Gotta be quick, Pastor. Gotta be quick. Got to think on your back. Got to think on your collar. Got to think on your feet. Come on now. Got to be quick. He got saved that night. He got saved that night. Ask Pastor Ben, how did you get saved? He'll tell you. Man, I just knew Jesus was coming back and I was not ready. And then you know what? He had a group called Namele Rasta. He was playing music in nightclubs. He was going all over gallivanting. He used to be in my Sunday school class. But he went his way when he got old. He went to trade school in Arizona. That was it. He lived in Arizona for a season. Came back home, ended up working for a big corporation here. Was a great mechanic, making big bucks. But he found out all my money would do nothing. I need Jesus. Because he knew how deep he was. Going to any church wouldn't have helped him. He had to go to a full gospel church. A Pentecostal, come on, devil church. So after he got saved like that, do you think he's going to be kept in some, let us pray. Our God, Heavenly Father. Oh, no, no, come on now. You need more than that. You know you need more than that. You need somebody to just get in your face and say, listen to me. You keep this up, you're going to die and go to hell, you jerk. Here when we came to the Lord, we were busted. He had our fingerprints, he had our eyes, he had everything on us, ID, everything. And here we're going to try to squirm our way out. We knew we needed Jesus. But after we say for a little bit, we're trying to skip from God, see? We're trying to skip from God. Go to another place where we can teach them something. And you put in more people in bondage because you're a Jonah in their boat. And the pastor said, man, why can't we get so much storm ever since this person came? We got so much storms. Now because of you, they're ordering cases of spiritual Dramamine. Come on. Everybody walking around with something behind the ear. Except you. Because you're the cause of the storm. We must be reconciled. Come on, somebody. It's important that we become born again. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. To die, I know who I am. I'm out of here. He says, but it's more better for you for me to stay because I can help you. Paul and Esther were saying, you're not going to find too many preachers like me. I will willingly take a hit for you. He says, you're not going to find them other preachers like that. They're going to love you now. They'll smother you in love like you think you chicken and dumplings. But the bottom line is you need more than smothering in love. Sometimes love got to be so firm you say, no. And I ain't giving you nothing else. I ain't going to help you no more. Because I'm not your source. God is your source. See, that's what took for me. Are you through playing? Man, before they even use the term player, God called me a player. I'm driving on in my nice ride. Now I began talking to myself. I sat there for a season in my car in a parking lot of where I work. How many of you know you cannot outsmart God? You can't outthink God. He's infinite. We're finite. We get smart. We have wisdom, but he's superior. God says, are you? And I said, yeah, I'm through. My heart was, if you let me go a little bit more, I'd be happy. But come on now. There's no joy in a second kick of a mule. So sitting there bleeding, I was like, And I saw a lot of things evaporate in my windshield. Because I had all kinds of plans, see. I had the money, so I had all kinds of plans. They took the land. They took Aloha. Or through the queen, even though they didn't know her. I had all it, but they couldn't take the manna. God was like, hang on, buddy boy. I got you where I want you now. But they couldn't take the manna. God bless me with a job. I started doing things I shouldn't have done. I started going places I shouldn't have gone to. That's why I tell you, you cannot just go anywhere where you want to go because God did not clear you to go there. And if you go there, trouble's waiting on you. So you got to know, God cleared me, I can go here. I mean, well, can you come with me over here? You know, I got to pray about it. Yeah, it'd be so holy. Yeah, you know what? In all my ways, I will acknowledge him, because there could be a reckless drunk driver coming down the road that's going to take, hit the car, you live and I die. Hello, I'm not going to be the young prophet from Kings. I'm not greeting nobody. I'm going straight home before I get killed by one lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, listen. God delights in making us one with him again. Wow, that's powerful. That's so powerful, man. I'm getting excited. Hey, go to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. Verse number 21. Check what it says. Look. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. See, all you people watching this and say, I'll have to have God from above that. I just did a program on the radio recently called The Fool. The Bible says, talking about atheists, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. One of the morning newspaper recently put out an article about this atheist who says, let me read the thing correctly. Pastor, can I read what the name of his book is? I was reading this and listen to what the name of the book is. God is not great. How religion poisons everything. This guy says, I'm an avowed atheist. I'm an atheist. He says, you know what? God is nothing. Well, one day, even though he has a bestseller book, one day, this man going to stand before who he considers to be nothing. And for the first time in his life, he's going to hear the volume in nothing's voice. And then nothing in his mind, nothing will condemn him to a hell and then to lake of fire, where he can go over his memoirs and his notes from the book that was a bestseller in New York Times list, but never made God's. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God said here, Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So who's the wicked? The fool who says there is no God. Anybody who has not been reconciled to God is wicked. Oh, but you know what? Hey, I'm a moral individual. I don't cheat. I don't cut this. I mean, I'm upfront. I'm good. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short. Point number three, everybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you still love me?
Amen.
Do you love me? Verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. And all things are of God. Did you check that out? All things are. The Amplified says all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of what? Harmonizing. Reconciliation. That by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Harmony, harmony. That's what we do. God gives us harmony. In other words, before you had a nice voice, before you were saved, you had a nice voice, and the world paid bucks for all your CDs, and they put you up in concerts, but you sounded stink to God. Terrible to God. But now that you've been reconciled, you got harmony, see. Before you were saved, you were flat. You were flatter than a floor. Now that you're saved, you're still flat. But when you sing, harmony, harmony, you might think, I cannot sing good. Everybody else sing better. You know, I should just as well play the CD. God wants to hear you sing. Because God, his hearing is different from ours. He says, my ear is not heavy that I cannot hear. I can put up with you. I cannot hear. And I mean, we can sing from A to Z. We carry everything. We touch every octave that we can. I knew I now. weak say, I am strong. And if that's your best, God says, oh, that sings so nice. Well, no, we may never let you sing in the praises. But God says, they sound good. Because you're giving him your all. You're singing at the top of your lungs, which is up here. The top of your lungs. And you're doing your utmost. You're like, I'm going to do that. I will bless thee, O Lord. And God's like, oh, I love how they sing. I just love how they sing. You ever notice every time you sing, people go to the bathroom? Get a clue. They don't have bladder problem. But God says, I love it. I love it. I love it. So sing. I don't want to discourage you. Sing. Sing. Sing to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Oh, boy. You know, when I was in school, we had to sing the alma mater. There's a lot of guys couldn't even sing. Quiet. Well, it's my alma mater. Mute his mic. Make him a Milli Vanilli. Play the tape. Lip sync. But God don't want us to lip sync. You know what he said? He says, you give me lip syncing, but it's not matching up with your heart. That's how God put it. He says, your mouth moves, but it's not lining up with your heart. With your mouth, you say you love me. But your heart says something different. Ay, Jesus. So, life in the kingdom of God, we must win and lead the lost to the Savior. Now, why am I here? What's my purpose? I need my purpose. 48 years old, still don't know your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, you're in deep trouble. God placed you here to not acquire for yourself, but to be a blessing to others. You can bring all your talents. You can have 2 18-wheelers and bring in all your talents. God says, but your heart is not in it. Your talent is. I'd rather you not bring that kind of talent. Remember the widow that gave 2 mites? Jesus watched her put in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. And the other guys gave in big bucks. It's like the telephone that comes every Labor Day. Don't take this out of context now. The celebrity that does this and has been doing it for years, I mean, they raise millions of dollars worth of money. Anyhow, there's no cure. Wow, that's a lot of money. Give me all that money, I can win many souls. Anyhow, that's another thing that's going to get on my soapbox now. But watch. It seems like if somebody gives them 10 grand, it's like, okay, thanks, next. I remember before when they said, $10,000. Thank you. Thank you on behalf of my children. Thank you for helping me. But now they give 25 grand, 50 grand. It's like, okay, next. Ungrateful. You know why? Because now it became who can outgive who. What corporation can give more than the other corporation? They're not giving to give. They're giving to scoop accolades. That's what happens when you bring your talents to God. You're trying to impress everybody else because you can't impress God. God got angels who can sing better than we can. They just can't sing our songs because they've never gone through the blood. But I'm telling you right now, heaven right now is not silent. It's a noisy place and they're singing up there. Did you get that? That's some pretty tough stuff I just told you. We're bringing this to a close, everybody. Ministry of Reconciliation. You and I have been given to it, a ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we need to bring people to God. Amen. We need to bring people to God. I want to introduce you to somebody who can radically change your life, you tell your friend. And the first way you tell them is by living that type of life. When pressure comes and they don't see you freaking out, they don't see you popping your cork. They look at you and say, how can you go through this? I have peace. They just told you have. They named the sickness. You kept your composure. Oh, I got peace.
Why? Because I know my God's not through yet. And they say, oh, but what if you die? I still have peace. Because I've done everything He told me to do. See? You can't lose as a Christian, saints. You cannot lose as a believer. It's impossible for believers to lose. Missionaries out there lose their life. Little poor thing. These guys went out there, gave up a good job. They're on the mission field. Somebody killed them. No, they did what God told them to do. Go and tell somebody. Sometimes we tell one. Sometimes we tell a million. Sometimes we tell 10. The bottom line is, just tell somebody. Let's pray. Father, you've given us a ministry of reconciliation. We appreciate you today. We would ask that over the next minutes, you would allow the Holy Spirit to minister to people's hearts. Those viewing this, those listening to this audio transmission, those here in the house. I'm asking God that you'd bring such a clarity to their understanding that they'll say, I need to be reconciled. I need to become in friendship with God. I need harmony again. Father, let it happen is our prayer. We seal this with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name, amen.